trust. You hold out your hand, simply believing salvation's plan.
When you feel you can't go on another day, yet still somehow you kneel down and pray. There's no hope in sight, but you still, you see, on through the night.
That's when faith steps in. Faith brings joy and peace in the midst of the storm. It sends out a tossed and worn.
When you say goodbye to your dearest friends, and through tear-filled eyes you say, I'll see you again.
That's when faith steps in.
When you take your last breath in this world down here, and you close your eyes without any fear,
that's when faith steps in. Faith will carry you where feet have never trod, safely to heaven, to the arms of God. When you open your eyes to that heavenly scene, and you realize it isn't a dream, that's when faith will end. When you gaze on Him face to face, and you rest in His sweet embrace, that's when faith will end. That's when faith will end.
Take your Bibles this morning, please, and probably turn to the most familiar verse in the Bible, John 3:16, this morning, please. John chapter 3, verse 16, this is one verse we'll read together. I'll read the first time through while you read along silently, and then we'll read together in unison the second time through. That's John chapter 3. Beginning of verse 16. As you're finding your place, or if you've already found it, and if you're able, please stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God as we read it this morning. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's read it together, please. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for this wonderful verse. Oh, it does have a reputation of being the most familiar, but I think it's the most encouraging too. God, use it this morning to help us. Father, help our pastor this morning. Blessing, empowering with Thy Holy Spirit power for the task ahead to help us today. God, do a work in our hearts and lives, those listening on the internet this morning and those here in this room. God, we love you. Thank you for a place called heaven that we just heard sung about, we sang about, and we're going to have preached about. And Father, if there's somebody listening on the internet or listening in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray they would trust him today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, I'll ask that you turn your cell phones off or put them away or whatever else you think you need to do. Because we're going to look at a verse this morning that, as Brother Evan said, maybe the most familiar verse in the Bible. I bet a verse, ladies and gentlemen, that you learned as a child. I would imagine a verse you could probably quote without even looking at the scriptures. Let's do that. Ready? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, Pastor, you're going to bring us something new from that verse. Impossible. Don't even want to try. I just want to give you this morning how you and I should see this verse, how we should see it. Well, I see it right there in front of me, Pastor, and I know what I've quoted it since I was a child. This verse brought me to my salvation when I was a kid. A little Sunday school class, a little lady teaching that class, and used John 3:16, and when she said, you know, your class, understand, for God so loved the world. That means he loves you. That captured my heart that morning. Now, I've never gotten over getting saved. I've never gotten over the fact that God loves me. Because I was just come out of a drunkard's home, and I thought, wow, God loves me. There's two ways to handle a difficult past. You either get bitter because of what it was, or you get better because of what it was. And I'm not a real smart man, but I just decided, you know what? I'm not going to question the fact that God loves me. I'm just going to be really glad that he does. So we can't break it down any differently than God gave it. We don't need to. Anytime somebody tries to fix the Bible, they mess up. Young preacher was at a meeting that was in open air in a park. And the preacher got up and quoted that verse, and he said, I'm going to preach from John 3:16 tonight. And he preached a message on John 3:16. The next night, same meeting, same preacher, young preacher in the crowd, hears him preach, and he said, tonight I'm going to preach on John 3:16 again. For 7 nights, that preacher got up and preached on John 3:16 for 7 nights. And this young preacher in the back was listening, and it just captured him to think that God so loved. That young preacher was D.L. Moody. Moody would go on to preach and see 1 million people come to Christ under his preaching. And Moody never preached without preaching about the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You say, well, Pastor, what do we need to see when we look at John 3:16? Here's what you see. You need to see. Number one, you need to see God's view of John 3:16. We call it the Word of God, right? The Bible, the Word of God, what God says. So you understand God wanted us to hear this. He wanted us to see, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God wanted us to see this. He wanted us to hear this. So you see, if you understand John 3:16 and you look at it the right way, we get back on the stand behind the Almighty God of heaven and realize God wanted me to have this. God wanted me to know this. He wanted me to know, for God so loved the world. He wanted me to know he loved everybody. He loves all people, all types. Now don't worry, I'm not getting all inclusive. Where all that matters is the fact that God loves you. And we're not all children of God except by faith in Christ Jesus. But God loves those who hate him. God loves those who deny him. God loves those who are so vulgar, they use his name in profanity. And if that's you, I wish your mama would get a hold of you and wash your mouth out with soap. I know it's not politically correct, but if you're going to say the name of Jesus, say it with reverence, respect. For God so loved, he loves the heathens, he loves the Muslims, he loves the Buddhists, he loves the Hindus, he even loves Baptists, hard to believe. He loves them all. God so loved, he loves the whole entire world. He loves communists, he loves liberals, he loves conservatives, he loves right wing, left wing, and no wings. He loves them all. God loves everybody. Do you get this? God, see from God's side, God so loved. He said, I want you to see this, for God so loved the world. God said, now I want you to see this. Here's how I'm going to prove how much I love you. I give you my son. He could have sent an emissary. He could have sent an angel. He could have sent somebody else. He could have just taken a human being and sent him to us. But God didn't do that. God came himself in human flesh. God said, I give you my son, the son, one member of the triune of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I give you him. The son will come. I'll give you my son. That's how much I love you. Can you imagine what that means, ladies and gentlemen? Would you give your son to people who hated you? Would you give your son to people who didn't care about you? Would you give your son to people who deny your name? Would you give your son to people who curse you? Would you give your son to people who teach religions and philosophies contrary to what you said? Then would you turn around and give them your son? God says, stand behind me and see this. For God, I so love this world, I'll show you. I'll give them my son. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And God says, I want you to see this now. I want you to see this. Here's how you can come to me. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, it shouldn't be that simple. I mean, come on. He gave us Jesus. He gave us his son. Then everybody should have to go to hell after that. Everybody. Everybody. Every one of us. Listen to me. I said every one of us should. And then he makes access to him through the very son he gave. Whew. God so loved. God so loved. Our oldest now is in his 40s. When we were in Bible college, he was a little guy. The nurseries at the church there, First Baptist in Hammond, had hundreds of kids in them. And it was like a factory to go get your children. And I'm standing in line waiting to get Paul. And he's a little bitty guy. And as we're coming down the steps, the nursery was a few steps down, several steps down actually. I'm coming down the steps. I just started looking down real quick to try and see him. And there was Paul. And he saw me. And I saw him. And he's waving at me, and I'm waving at him. Hi, buddy. And about that time, this kid runs up and smashes him in the head with one of those truck things they had. Knocked him down, put a knot on his head, a little blood on his lip. You ever want to kill a three-year-old? I want to crawl over that counter and get that little kid. Hit my boy. Boom, what's your problem? Come on, son, you'll be fine. And he got up and he's wiping the blood off him. Most kids nowadays would have to have counseling and shock therapy and everything else. It's a new world. Man, that kid made me mad. Max, my boy, and he was standing there waving at me like that, like a good little boy, and you hit him in the head with your truck. And God looks down from heaven, look what he did to his son. So no, that was the Roman government and the Jewish religion. Now, our sin nailed Jesus to the cross. God said, I want you to see this now. I love you so much, I gave you my son. And now, whosoever believeth in him. That's more than just believing Jesus lived. More than believing Jesus died. More than believing Jesus rose from the grave. It's believing he did that for you, in your place. Your salvation is through Jesus Christ and him alone. Do you see why God won't let anybody into heaven unless they come to God through Christ? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. See? God said, I want you to see this now. Oh, and he said, I want you to see one more thing. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but hope one day to get everlasting life. Have. I looked at have up. You know what it means? It means have. Amazing, best commentary on the Bible is the King James Bible. Amazing. Have. I said have everlasting life. I said have everlasting life. Not going to get it. Not hope to get it. Not praying to get it. Not working at getting it. You have it. The moment you trust Christ, you have everlasting life. God said, come see this now. I want you to see John 3:16. Do you see it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now you listen to this preacher this morning. Do you see why then you're not going to heaven until you get saved? You hear me? Your religion, your works, your baptism, your all the stuff of religiosity are without it. I got my own way. Yeah, you ain't going there that way either. You come to God through Jesus or you're not going. And it's not believing that he lived. It's believing he died for you, trusting him alone, nothing else for your salvation, or you're not going to heaven. God wants you to see that. Now, you know who else needs to see John 3:16? Sinners need to see John 3:16. Sinners need, see, who in the world's that, Pastor? Look right, look left, and then look down. That's us. Like that all have sin thing. That's everybody in this room this morning. Sinners need to see John 3:16 the right way. For God, look here, salvation comes from God. Salvation originates with God. Salvation, if it's biblical, it comes from God. It doesn't come from church. It doesn't come from religion. It doesn't come from somebody. And doesn't come from you. It comes from him. For God, it's got to go to God. That means that every sinner needs to come to God and realize that God so loved them. For God so loved the world. Let me see now. Let's see it one more time. Would you please see? I already quoted, I know it on my heart now, Pastor. Well, let's look at it one more time. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever. Amen. Ooh. Brace it, Calvinist. Here it comes. Whosoever. Hold on, election of grace. Hold on. Whosoever. I looked that one up right next to have. You know what it means? What does it mean, church? There you go. That's right. Anybody, anytime, anywhere, any place, whosoever. See, you're a sinner. That's why you need salvation. But you're not such a bad sinner that you can't have it because you get into the whosoever. Hey, and you're not such a good sinner that you don't need it because you're under the whosoever too. We all got to come to God. Sinners got to come to John 3:16 for God so loved. God loves me so much. He so loved me. He gave me his son. He gave his son for me. And you got to make it personal. That's why we talk about receiving Christ as your personal Savior. At some point, you and God have to do business about Jesus, the death of the cross, the resurrection, and what it means, and that you're trusting Christ. It's got to be you. And that whosoever encompasses anybody, you name them. And listen to me, from the Pope to the preacher, everybody, from the gutter to the mansion, doesn't make any difference, whosoever. See, every sinner's got to come to see John 3:16. It's from God. He loves me. He gave me his son, and I got to be one of the whosoever. I've witnessed to people, and as talking to them about their sin and needing a Savior, they get offended sometimes. Well, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that you need a Savior and salvation like everybody. Are you saying I'm a sinner? I like to escape on that one. No, God says that. But unfortunately, I happen to be the messenger, so it means sinner, but whosoever come to God, trust his son. And he says you will have everlasting life and you'll not perish. Perish doesn't mean you won't die. Perish means you will not cease to exist in some place in the forever. See, there's a soul in everybody in the body, every person in this room that's going to exist somewhere forever. But you know, hell is not life. Hell is likened to death, the second death. Hell is likened to a place of separation and punishment. You'll exist in hell, but you won't live. You only live when you go to heaven when it's over. Shall not perish. Oh. And sinner, get this. If you trust Christ, you're not only saved, you're secure. Because he said, you shall not perish, and you shall have everlasting life. The moment you trust Christ, eternal life begins at that moment, and it's everlasting life, not temporary life, not down payment life, not for a while life, not life until, not life for because of, not life with if you only do so and so. No, you have everlasting life. Get loose, sinner, and come to Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, one more, because every sermon has to have 3 points. I know most of my sermons seem to have no point, but stay with me. That's not funny. I work hard on this stuff. Look, I even wrote things down. Come on, people. You know what else you need to see? John 3:16. Saved sinners, saints of God need to see John 3:16. We need to stop quoting it. We need to park there every now and then. You know what I'm saying? Just every now and then. I know it's not so exciting or interesting as to trying to find out whether the current president is going to be the Antichrist or not. Let me relieve you. This dude is not going to be. I don't know. Demon possession. Anyway, but whatever. No, that's not going to happen. You want to research all the. When was the last time you pulled over saved sinner? And you remember that day? Oh, I've never gotten over getting saved. You know, John 3:16 doesn't save you again, because you only need salvation once. But John 3:16 for a saved sinner, a child of God, reminds you what an amazing thing it is to have salvation we could have never earned. Never earned. Hey, salvation we could not pay for. Salvation we could have not worked for. Salvation we don't deserve. Salvation we don't deserve to continue to have. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I got in under the whosoever part of salvation. So does anybody else, by the way. You still see John 3:16 like that? Huh? Saved what? A year, 10 years, 20 years, 30, 40, 50, 60 years? How long, huh? How long? Does John 3:16 still get you, or do you do one of those notes? For God so loved the Lord, gave his own God, sinners are believing, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but no more now, because I'm so good to me. How can we sing Amazing Grace and sing it like that? It's not even amazing anymore. Hey, it's still amazing. Grace is still amazing. And John 3:16 takes me back to a 9-year-old old boy trusting Christ as my personal Savior. I remember leaving church that day and thinking to myself, why did I wait all this time? I was a terribly shy kid. Terribly shy. I thought you had to walk an aisle to get saved. I mean, walk the aisle got you saved. I didn't know. I thought, boy, as soon as you step out, born again. No. I thought, yeah, but then I got to go in front of all them people. Finally, I couldn't take it anymore, and I said, I don't care. I got to get saved. I got to get saved today. I stepped out in the aisle, and I didn't get saved. But I went down, and someone dealt with me. I trusted Christ as my Savior. And you know, 60 years later, that's still a precious moment to me. It really is. See, saved sinners, saints of God, we need to see John 3:16. We need to see it the right way. We need to see it as a reminder of how amazing it is to have salvation that we could not pay for, earn, deserve, or nor are worthy of. And listen to me. And after all of these years, we still have everlasting life. You ever just stop and say, God, why do you even put up with me? Why? Why do you ever put up with me? I don't understand sometimes the mercy and the grace of my God. I just don't understand it. I don't. You say, well, then you doubt it. No, I'm thankful for it, and I'm amazed by it. But I'll tell you what. Why do you put up with me, God? Really, why? Oh, one more view, please, and I'll finish this morning because I have 4 points. That's one too many. I'll take one off tonight, okay? There's another view of John 3:16 we need to have, and here it is. The church's view of John 3:16. That world out there, ladies and gentlemen, I know we rail on it, talk about how evil and wicked it is, and it is evil, and it's wicked out there. It's a mess. You would agree? That's true. It's easier to say it's wicked than I am, though, isn't it? We'll leave that alone. For God so loved the world. This world needs to know that there is a God who loves them. And sent his Son to die for them. Not just that God, I want you to know God loves you. That's all you need to know. No, you need to know why he loves you, how he loves you. He gave you his son, and he came and he died for you, and he paid for your sins. That's how much he loves you. Oh, don't pull up short and just sell the good part of John 3:16. Tell them the even better part of John 3:16, that God gave us his son, and whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, it's a good message for the church today. We're trying to sell everything. Because look, some churches today, they just look like they're a business anymore. All we're trying to do is market this and market that and satisfy this Christian and pat them on a popo and send them off to their champagne and their scrambled eggs after church on Sunday morning instead of letting the world know God so loved the world. We refuse to support a missionary endeavor that is not gospel-centric. What does that mean? That means that's all they do. No, they have colleges. They do stuff. But their main emphasis is to get the gospel of Jesus Christ to these folks. Why? Because God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In these places we've been able to go in the world, sometimes preaching the gospel in places they've never heard the gospel. Been some places in this world and never even seen a white man before. It amazes me. People steeped in a religion, raised in it generationally, and you hear their testimony of how they got saved out of that religion to become a child of God, and it's almost across the board. The thing that got their attention was, God loves me, because their deity doesn't love them. That stump can't love somebody. That God that they call by a name and they never hear from, don't understand, never expresses his so-called love for them. But here's the God of heaven, and he said, I'll commend my love toward you, and that while you're yet sinners, Christ will die for you. And it pierces the veil of religion and darkness and all the rest of it. For God, the church needs to get back to the John 3:16 of what they're doing. And let's make sure this world knows that God loves them and why and what he did about it. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.